Okay, let's go to the Clane Maynooth Municipal District then and local issues. Social Democrats Councillor Aidan Farley is on the line. Morning, Aidan.
Hiya, morning, Owen. How's it going?
I'm not too bad. Right, motions that you brought forward to the meeting. First of all, you wanted an update on any planned resurfacing works on the main streets in Clane and also the main streets in Prosperous. Are they in a bad way?
Yeah, they would be, Owen, for different reasons, I suppose. And listeners might be aware, certainly from the Clane end, when there was significant works done by Coffee Construction for Irish Water a number of years back. Reinstatement was done, but it was never done to 100%. We're starting to see, certainly at the kind of pinch points at the junctions, that there's a bit of resurfacing needed. So good news there that both Clane and Prosperous, we're seeing it in Prosperous as well, at the crossroads specifically, where a lot of the traffic is converging, that the road's just getting torn up a little bit. And it's been a while since the works have been done there. So we're going to get some good news that hopefully in July and August we're going to see those roads being done again.
Yeah, if we stay in Prosperous then, Aidan, there's some good news in terms of Ann Street, because you had a motion that the council provide a detailed timeline to reallocate unoccupied council houses in that area. I think there was 10 at one stage that were lying idle. So what can you tell us about it?
Great news here, Owen. Yeah, we've spoken about this previously ourselves, and I have to say, in the middle of a housing crisis that continues to worsen, there's nothing more frustrating, I think, for anybody than seeing empty houses that should be allocated. And we've spoken of this before, and the council have really put in a lot of resources into getting these homes specifically in Ann Street reallocated. So excellent news. We've seen 4 properties currently available and have been offered to prospective tenants. And then there's 2 remaining. One which is fire damaged and will take a bit of time to get done. And then the other is going to be available for allocation in the next 2 weeks. We're going to be at a point in a couple of weeks where there's only going to be 1 unallocated home right now in Ann Street, which is great news. But also, just to share with your listeners, that we're also, the council have decided to make one of those units into a community centre facility for Prosperous, which is excellent news. I think something that will get great use. And so I've asked for a committee to kind of set up that we'd have a couple of meetings to establish who's going to, what groups are going to get to use that committee or that centre. So a lot of good news there in terms of Ann Street and Prosperous.
Yeah, definitely. Super work, and something that I think Prosperous needs, and a lot of people in the area would have called for a community centre there for quite some time, so well done on that. And 2 final motions then, and briefly on these, Aidan, if you would. They were to do to LPT allocations and funding.
Yeah, so we've got great news coming in terms of the communication boards, Owen, and they're going to be trialled in a number of playgrounds in Kildare. I had allocated about €5,000 of local property tax money to it last year, similar figure this year, and we're good to see now that hopefully there's going to be little love and symbols occupied on these signs. So for anyone who's not aware, communication boards are an option for people who maybe mightn't have verbal communication skills right now to be able to communicate maybe their interests or their wants or their needs in a public facility. So they're going to be able to have those installed in 2 or 3 playgrounds in the next, hopefully, number of weeks, if not a short number of months, maybe 2 months or so. And that's great news. That's going to be really something that's a useful addition, not only to our playgrounds, but hopefully when we get to a place, if we can fund all playgrounds around the county. And then we also have just a reallocation of local property tax funds as well to a community group in Maynooth as well, doing some community work there. So all in all, a really kind of useful and positive meeting, and they're rare, Owen, so we're going to celebrate this one.
Yeah, very much it seems like it, and well done to you. That is Social Democrats councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Aidan Farley. Thanks, Aidan.
Thanks indeed, Owen. Lads, for that. You know, going back to the price of things and the way the market has gone mad, we spoke about earlier with Eugene Drennan, president of the Irish Road Hauliers Association, now costing them €400 per tank every time they fill up one of these huge trucks. That's unsustainable, that's definitely unsustainable. Yesterday on the programme, we spoke about the price of the gargle, the old drop of the crater and stuff like that. And we were hearing, you know, about, you know, a pint in the gin and tonic costing €11 and poor old Cuiva off in Clare for the weekend and being charged €16.50 for a pint. Was it €16.50, she said, for a pint of Guinness and a gin and tonic? Well, hello to everyone at Laois Hire in Athy, particularly Mick Dillon. Fine company and great lads, know you well. and who emailed yesterday morning, but I didn't see the message until late. He says, good morning, Clem. Speaking about the price of drink on the programme, you were down at some house music festival at the weekend. Not sure where that was on now. You paid $8.30 for a pint of Heineken. A disgrace, says McDillan. That's putting it mildly, Mick. But why would you pay $8.30 for a pint of Heineken? Would you have not told the fella serving it to you to drink it himself rather than forking out the $8.30? And just a couple of more quick messages coming in. I remember complaining about A&D at the People's Debate in 2016, says Mick and Kyle Dove. At the time, a woman I got talking to, who was a senior citizen, had waited 27 hours without as much as a cup of tea after going through A&D into the holding room. She ended up going home without treatment. But Mick, that was then. This morning, we heard to the other Mick, which is not his real name, about his wife entering A&E at Nurse General yesterday morning at 9 o'clock. She's still there. But she didn't get out of A&D until sometime last night when she saw a doctor, or she finally saw a doctor at 7:15 this morning, like 20 plus hours later. And then Mick announcing that you're not allowed to bring hot drinks into the area of the A&E. So you can sit there for 24 hours. Right, things need to change. Things need to change, and I'm not making a political statement at all in relation to that. I'm making what is a welfare statement. We talked about a new report that's out today showing cocaine use is rising most in this country amongst young women and indeed young people. Sinn Féin TD for Cork North Central and party spokesperson on addiction recovery and well-being is Thomas Gould. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Ken.
Thank you for joining us. That report that's out today, shocking statistics in regards to the consumption of drugs and alcohol among the younger set in this country.
Yes, and it just shows where we are now as a society. But the problem is we've allowed the government policy over the last 12 years, during the austerity years, cutting back Garda numbers, has allowed these criminal gangs to get into every town and village. Like one time, you would have associated, and I would have associated, with drug dealing with the big cities, especially in the city Dublin, maybe Cork and Limerick and Waterford. But now you have it everywhere in there. So you could go to the smallest village in the state, to the biggest city, and your drugs after infiltrating. And the reason is, and it's covered in this report, is during the austerity years, Garda numbers in the divisional drug units went from 378 in 2010 down to 238 in 2018. So that was a loss of 155 guards. I was still only back up to 329 now, 49 below where we were 12 years ago. And people are wondering then why drugs have become so prevalent and why these criminal drug gangs have gotten away with it. The Garda are the ground, are overworked, they're under pressure and they're under resourced, and they need support from the government to tackle this.
Your party colleague, who is Raida Cronin, Sinn Féin TD for North Kildare, coincidentally issued us a statement yesterday, which I didn't have time to bring on the programme to listeners, but it's absolutely relevant to what you're saying. She says there are only 9 drugs personnel in the whole of County Kildare, and she attributes it to under-resourcing as well, saying that the new figures show that local drug units have still fewer Gardaí than a decade ago, which you have just said. She says we have only 9 Garda personnel dealing with drugs in County Kildare. It's not acceptable. The under-resourcing is putting too much pressure on present resources. New figures show that for all the government's lip service to tackling drug dealing, they've in fact failed to properly resource Garda drug units. I mean, when it comes to drugs throughout the county and every county in this country, the situation 12 now bears no relation to what the situation was 12 years ago. It's multiple times worse. Yet the numbers you're telling us about, Thomas Gould, show that Garda numbers have been reducing while the drug situation has been escalating.
You see, Clem, you're exactly right what you're describing now. And Raider's point there in relation to numbers in Kildare, it's shocking when you look at it.
And remember, Thomas, Kildare is outside of, we'd say, Dublin, Cork maybe. Kildare has the biggest population, of practically most counties in the country, outside of the ones I'm talking about, with up 250,000 people. And we have only 9 Gardaí in the whole county. Now, I know there are support units and stuff like that to deal with the problem that's now permeating and affecting every town and village in this country.
But like what Raven said in relation to numbers in Kildare, right? Kildare, you look at Kildare now, Kildare would all, like, speaking as a Corkman, right, you would always see Kildare as being, it wouldn't have ever had the stigma of crime and crime gangs and drugs, but because of the lack of gang resources, these criminal gangs now from Dublin have stretched right into places like Kildare, right into places like Cork, even rural Cork, all areas now. And the reason for that is, and Clem, like if you think 12 years ago when you were covering issues like this, you said there's no resemblance to today, but we still have 49 less Gardaí dealing with it. What we believe is that we need to give the Gardaí the numbers to do their job.
And Thomas, will Sinn Féin, if you reform the next government with Mary Lou MacDonald, your party president, clearly ahead in the popularity stakes, all indicators that Sinn Féin, maybe not on your own, you'll have a challenge to find enough partners to form the next government. Are you telling the listeners here in Kildare and surrounding counties that Sinn Féin will rectify these numbers, not alone in the Garda situation, but also in the health aspect of it? We've had your party representatives, David Cullinan, on this programme frequently. Will, it's easy to say these things in opposition. Would you activate and action these things if you were in government?
Yes, and the reason there's a number of reasons we would, Clem. We have to put Gardaí on the ground, but not just for divisional drug units. We need community Gardaí, we need Gardaí on the ground. Like, I was talking to Patricia Ryan last week, who's our Sinn Féin spokesperson for older people. A lot of older people are very nervous now at the moment. They want to see Gardaí in the ground. And Clem, from a point of view, the more Gardaí you put in the ground, the less criminality you see, the less...
Right, that's self-evident. Thomas, will you stand by that premise that Sinn Féin will action the concerns you're talking about now and provide the necessary numbers of Gardaí if you're in government?
We will deliver. When hopefully we are in power, Clem, I'll come back on your show and we'll outline the plan with Patricia and Rhaida about how Sinn Féin will protect the people in Kildare and the state.
All right, we'll have you back on the occasion if that arises. Thomas Gould, Sinn Féin TD for Cork, but the party's spokesperson on addiction recovery and well-being on that decline in Garda numbers. Thanks for that, Thomas. And good morning to you, Slán Tomal. Now, lots of messages coming in. A listener says that poor lady, it's a disgrace. Whoever designed the chairs in the A&E should be made to sit on them for the same length of time as patients. You would not get this in a private hospital. I agree, Clem, it's a third world situation, says Anne Murphy. Who would go to A&E if you didn't need to? It's out of control, says another. Please, Clem, could you give me the number for the palliative care nurse who was looking for staff? Says Joy. Joy, I'm not sure, I don't know what you're talking about. But on the positive side, and let's be fair to everybody concerned here, a listener says, good morning. I was in A&E in Nace Hospital last Thursday evening. I was seen by A&E in a few minutes, got a bed, was in Slane's ward on Friday until discharged yesterday. Doctors and staff are so busy and very caring. A hello to everybody in the Slaney ward, says Theresa Meany in Kilcullen. And to reiterate again, this is not at all a commentary on the commitment, the professionalism, the dedication, the care provided by the nurses, doctors, and other staff, support staff in Nace General Hospital. It's about what Thomas Gould just mentioned there regarding Gardaí. It's a lack of resources. We're pouring billions into the health service every year. Where is it going? Is it going on managers? On admin? What? But it's not addressing what is a crisis, not just in Nace General, in every hospital in the country. And I want people to know that by highlighting this morning, we're doing so in support of Nace General Hospital. and the staff who are toiling away on our behalf in there, that they get the resources to be able to do their job, and that the taxpayers of this country have the services available to us for the high taxes that we are paying.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. A group of parents are campaigning for improved road safety in Allan Wood, and they have set up a committee. The primary purpose of the group is to make the road safe for the children in the locality to walk to and from school. And Fine Gael councillor, Cathaoirleach of the Claymaanuith Municipal District, but also a member of that Allan Wood Safety Committee, Brendan Wise, is on the line. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, all.
We would have spoken about this not too long ago, about the, I suppose, lack of footpaths in Allan Wood, particularly out on Station Road down to the GAA, but it also seems to be an issue now in the village centre.
It is, and more so in the village centre for people going to the school from the estate that are in the centre. So parents concerned with that set up a new committee. It's led actually by Aisling Dunn, who's a frontline worker herself. She recognised the issue that a lot of children weren't walking to school or weren't cycling to school and kind of been brought down by their parents or even in cars, even though they're living beside the crossroads. And the reason for that, Owen, there have been a lot of near misses around the crossroads, and particularly on zebra crossings and even at the signalised junctions, the crossings where the traffic has to stop. We do have significant volumes of heavy traffic because we're on the main haulage routes for the Dreid landfill, so you do have a lot of big lorries in the area. And it's kind of the objective of this committee was to kind of look at that and see can we make it safer. And the first action of that group was to meet with the road safety officer of the council, and that's Declan Keogh, and he came out in February. And he advised this committee to begin to gather data, use questionnaires and surveys to see what's happening, what near misses occurred, and also to get the school and the wider community involved as much as possible. So we did that, and we also brought out our local community garda, Shane Smith. He's based in Payne. He assessed the junction, he gave some pointers, and he also wrote a letter of support. And then on the questionnaires, people were asked how they travelled to school, what areas they found dangerous on that journey, and what measures would make it more safer for them to travel to school by walking or cycling for those that didn't. Regarding community involvement, we used the local parish magazine, the Allan Eye, that they distributed some of the questionnaires into the magazine, and they were handed back into the post office. And we got the school involved, as advised. The school in Allan Wood School, where they have a school council, and the council of the school, the students themselves, organised traffic counts and made sure that the questionnaires went out to the students, you know. And actually, in the village itself, then there were other traffic counts took place, and this was done in conjunction with the Tidy Towns group there in Allan Wood. So, as well as that, we sent in a lot of letters to the council, letters of support from community sports clubs and community groups, but really to tell the story from their point of view of how these safety issues were impacting them or anything that they were aware of. And we had a lot of good replies from businesses in around Allan Wood Cross, particularly that would be looking out onto the junction and seeing things on a daily basis happening there. And also, Owen, if you know in Salins, they have these silhouettes now. I think they might have high-vis jackets on them. I found them very noticeable there. And I know that our group, we work closely with the Salins group, and the local men's shed now, Nafina Med Shed, are going to make up silhouettes same to what they have in Salins. And they're actually being supported by some community funding from the council. So we think the impact is massive, not just from the safety point of view, but obviously from the environmentally friendly point of view. If you're going in your car from the village down to the school, which is only a couple of hundred metres, then it doesn't make sense. We project that with the census results this year, that the population of Allan Wood must be up to 1,500 people now, and 15% of them is far too small of a number to be walking or cycling to school. In the end, we sent 160 pages of all of this data, questionnaires filled out, results of traffic counts, letters of support. They went to the sustainable transport manager in Kildare County Council, and actually in April we were told that Allan Wood Cross was one of just five junctions in the county that are going to be prioritised for road safety assessment by the council this year. And so the people that are doing that assessment, they have these reports from this our safety committee, and will be using that to inform that assessment as they look around the junction and hopefully come up with some designs and plans to make this safer.
Yeah, as you say, Brendan, the population of Allan Wood increasing now. There's two new housing estates that have just been built, but it also is a village that would see a lot of cars cars and traffic coming through it, connecting various different towns and villages around the county. Just before we finish up then, Brendan, in terms of pedestrian crossings, I was only in Allan Wood there recently, and one off the top of my head is from the Spar across to the Chipper there, just as you go out to Derry Mullen. But is that the only one in the village centre?
That would be the only signalised junction on, and then there are two zebra crossings on the two approach roads, say one down to the GA and the other one on the back towards Newbridge, that road, but not on the road towards Clane. There's no junction there. But you're right, that signalised junction there, very close to the crossroads itself, I must say, that is the only one where it actually stops the cars.
Okay, so the committee, as you also mentioned, has asked Kildare County Council to review the layout of the crossroads and the Stagger Junction in the village, and for a footpath which will allow children to safely walk to the GAA, which we touched on from the outset there out in the Station Road. Have you had any response from Kildare County Council, or when do you expect maybe something might come back from them?
Following the letters that the fifth class students wrote, the motion, I think it was the March or April meeting, that the council would prepare an application to the NTA, the National Transport Authority, to fund this new footpath. So we will look for an update in a month or two on, but we give them time to prepare their plans, and then obviously the funding request goes in. It's a kind of a separate to what the safety committee was working on, but it would make the village safer and definitely make it more convenient if people could go down and train in the local GA pitch, because it is a bendy road, as we spoke about before.
Okay, well, member of the Allan Wood Safety Committee, which has just been set up, it's a group of parents that are campaigning for improved road safety in Allan Wood, but he's also a Fine Gael councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, indeed Cathaoirleach of that MD, Brendan Wise. Thanks for joining us, Brendan.
Thank you, gentlemen. And by the way, we are focusing on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District because it's the one meeting that's current at the moment in regards to all the motions. Selbridge Leakslip is meeting, and the other ones as well. We'll be bringing you all those meetings as they come to hand. Still to come on the programme, we're going to be speaking, we have Crime Time with Kildare Gardaí, and a brief reflection on what went down at last night's Kildare County GAA board meeting. But staying with the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, I'm joined by Fianna Fáil Councillor Nisha O'Carruil. Good morning, Nisha.
Good morning, Ken.
Thanks for joining us. Now, you had four motions in. The first one, you want ramps and potholes repaired on the Meadowbrook Road in Maynooth, I presume that is.
It is indeed. So the Meadowbrook Road, the R408, essentially if people can think of Bond Bridge in Maynooth, so going from Parson Street over Bond Bridge and then down to the Newtown Inn. So the road has been in a good bit of disrepair for some time, as of the ramps. And yeah, a simple motion to get it done, and thankfully they've come back and they said that they'll carry out these works, and the improvements will happen.
Good news there. What about the Dunboyne Road outside Charter House and on Parsons Street? You say there's a number of pinch points on those.
Yeah, so again, kind of in around the town centre, if people think of where the girls' school is, where the convent is, going around Dunboyne Road, there's Charter House there, and there's a huge pinch point there at the moment, and there's been some minor incidents, but the fear is obviously that there'd be larger incidents, particularly proximity to the primary school, and ensuring that we have those safety points. And again, on Parson Street, it's been an ongoing issue for years, a particular pinch point where cars, essentially only one car can pass at a time, which contributes to, I suppose, more traffic in the town as well. So look, the council said they can't do anything other than potentially remove a parking spot. So I said, look, we need to engage first and foremost with residents in that area. You know, parking is a paramount as well. Okay. In the area. So that's what's going to happen there.
Now, coincidentally, it's a morning where one of our obituaries is the late Mr. Lee Malahan, former owner of Carton House in Maynooth. And you have asked the council to clarify what the public access and right-of-way arrangements are for Carton Domain in Maynooth. And did you get a report at the meeting?
I did. I got a report in the meeting. And just before I do, Clem, just to extend my sympathies to the Malahan family. I worked in Carton House when I was in college, and I was very close with the Malahan family, indeed with Lee and with his wife Mary. So just to extend my sympathies to the family as well. They're no longer involved with the hotel.
That's
but
right.
They're still residents in Maynooth, and very respected in the town as well. In relation to, and when they did actually take over Carton, they opened it up for the first time to the public, but it never was previously to the residents of Maynooth, and gave people like myself employment in the hotel and in the golf club at that time. What's happened since the Fairmont Group have taken over, and essentially a sign has been put outside where Carrington Avenue is that essentially access is limited to Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Now, people are working, for the most part anyway, Glenn, people are working 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. So I don't know, you know, kind of it's limiting the vast majority of the public's access to the area. And the council has come back and said, look, from their files going back to 1991, there is a public right-of-way, and the planning department are going to engage with Carrington House to ensure that public right-of-way, and to clarify what exactly the right-of-way is, and that right-of-way is provided to the public of Maynooth and indeed the Irish people, because I think we were locked out of estates like Carrington and Castletown for long enough, and it's back into the people's ownership as it should be.
Indeed, so that's I think where that is. People, there should be no. We've had enough. Where is it in Cork, out on the head of Kinsale or something?
Which old head of Kinsale.
Head of Kinsale, which was bought and developed as a golf course, and what had been a public access for generations was lost. And so many of our public right of ways have disappeared over the years, mainly through lack of use, but also in many cases where, because of developments going on in the area, people mightn't be au fait with the idea that there's a public right of way until it's gone. No use crying after spilt milk. And speaking of spilt milk and crying after it, it looks like there's no suitable location for a dog park in Maynooth, in response to your question.
It doesn't seem it at present, but look, there's a master plan ongoing for the town, which will have the redevelopment of the Harbour Field, lots of local community centre potentially, where the council offices are now. That's not confirmed at all. Also looking at the main street, the square, and then the redevelopment of parts of Carrington Avenue, or sorry, off the fields off Carrington Avenue. That could be a potential area as well. So look, it's not a definite no. We're not sure yet. No.
All right. Okay. We'll see what happens on that. Fianna Fáil councillor and the Clare Maynooth Municipal District and County Councillor, and of course you are Mayor of Kildare, Knockwill.
Yeah, Sin Mise. Good day, Darren and Misa. Show until the 24th of this month, we'll be having our AGM, and the chain will be handed over to whoever the successor will be.
And how has, just as we have you, in case we don't get talked to you again, coincidentally, I wasn't aware that your tenure was up already. A reflection briefly on your year?
It's been one of the biggest honours of my life, Clem, to be honest. You know, to represent and to be the first citizen of the county where you're born and reared is a huge honour. And there's been so many, you know, particularly coming out of COVID as well, where a lot of meetings were online. And at the moment, I'm up and down the county, west and east, with all the events that are happening, which is great to show that, you know, Kildare, it's back kicking. We're back out. Community groups are back out, events are back on, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And for example, we had Africa Day last week in Maynooth and Monstrevin and Tyne. You know, with Gordon Bennett, the vintage car is going on the weekend. You know, we've so much going on.
And the June Fest in Newbridge, which was just on over the weekend and was a huge success, yes.
And we had as well the Bealtaine Festival in Naas. Like, there's so much going on at the moment. We've the Derby coming up. We had Punchestown. These are the first time Punchestown and the Derby, for example, have been back in full throttle with full crowds. So, you know, it's kind of something we nearly took for granted over the years, and it's great that we're back at it again.
All right. Well, look, well done on your year as mayor. It is indeed a great privilege to lead your county. You do know now that Secret Service guards will be removed from your detail. Unlike American presidents, you won't be able to have that privilege anymore. And of course, of course, there isn't a ministerial Mercedes either. I'm only joking, folks, so just don't get carried away. Look at Cogordicus, as Shin, on Lian Akatu, Marmoir, Hildara, Agus, Gunari Gabral, that's the Tauki, Freshen. Nisha Carroll, well done, Nisha, and thanks for joining us this morning. Good morning to you. Right, so the 24th, we'll have a new mayor in the county on that basis, lads. Let's see what happens there in regards to that. Now, unfortunately, there's been a communications, a cock-up, for want of a better word, in that the name we were given to do the Garda spot this morning, the name we were given by the Gardaí, this Gardaí is on holidays and therefore is not available. So we will get back onto the Garda authorities and say, how, lads, did that happen? Not for the first time that we have contacted the Garda whose name we were given, who said, what? Well, no one told me about that. Well, and in this case, unfortunately, we won't be able to bring you Crime Time today. We'll see, can we bring it tomorrow, if we can this time verify that the name we're given is the name of An Garda, who will actually deliver the slot in regards to that. Now, where was I going to go? I was just going to go to a break, but just a few messages that are coming in. KFM, Joy, fair play, I'm saying that for 4 years about those chairs in hospitals. Right. The politicians don't have to queue up for 14 hours because they'll have private health insurance and stuff like that. You seem to have forgotten the politicians created the HSE. So they are removed from having to take responsibility for anything that happens there, says Breda, at the moment. Right, okay. Vast amounts of money are paid to the management, says Breda, to run the service, which is clearly not functioning properly. This weekend, there's going to be a sustainability event held at Monastrevin Community Centre. I would greatly appreciate if you could share our details on your station to help us promote the event. And a link for tickets here. It's the Sustainability Living with Monastrevin SEC. Look, I'll look at that message later on, all right, because it's more to do with maybe some kind of announcement that will go into our Kildare Diary. And speaking of where KFM will be, on Friday evening, we'll be live from Poplar Square, by the way. In this, for the Cannonball Run, we'll be speaking with Al Bannon of AB Signs over there in Kilcullen about that. He's one of the prime organisers. And of course, with the upcoming Derby, we'll be broadcasting live with one Pat Costello from the Curra on Derby weekend on both the Saturday and Sunday. Just some of the OBs, but we're also out and about at other places as well. We'll tell you more about that as it goes along.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film. All under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
On a day when 131,000 students are sitting the Junior Cert and Leaving Cert exams, loads of pressure on them, but also loads of pressure on parents. And we'll have some tips for you to deal with your beloved and nearest and dearest when they come home at lunchtime, having undertaking the opening papers in English this morning and possibly stressed and exhausted and everything else. They'll need a hug and a comforting bit of advice, not a post-mortem. Okay, but first of all, last night the Kildare County GAA Board held its meeting, and reflecting on that is the Kildare National Sports Editor, Pat Costello. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning to you. How are you?
Thanks for joining us. I noticed, Pat, on the back page of your edition of The Nationalist, which came out yesterday, Newbridge going nowhere for now, is the headline, under an article by yourself, I dare say.
Yeah, well, I managed to put somebody together this week. All right, yeah, we were back in the crow's nest in St. Conlon's Park for the first time last night. That was the first time since the pandemic. And as you referred to, one of the big topical issues of St. Conlon's, and indeed the match next weekend, Kildare versus Mayo, that would have, I suppose, evoked memories of Newbridge or nowhere. You wouldn't think that those are two big events in Kildare GAA circles, by judging by the level of debate, which was underwhelming last night. The meeting was over in within the hour, very well organised and efficiently and effectively organised by the chairman, Mick Gorman. Informative reports from the chairs of the various subcommittees, but as I said, the level of debate was underwhelming. So everything appears rosy and lilyland, Clem, as far as I could make out last night.
And we had Pádraig McManus on the programme yesterday morning explaining why the St. Conlon's Park redevelopment, understandably, was being deferred. It's due to inflation. The original cost of around 9 million would now be up at 14, 15 million. And also possible tenders will have to be submitted again, new project costs. And they also have to make applications to the various bodies, Croke Park, the government, or whatever else, to see can they get that funding. And it would have been crazy to try and go ahead with it, given construction costs, even if you can get developers to come in at any particular price at the moment. You point out all of that in your article yesterday in The Nationalist. Briefly, Pat, and finally, what was the reaction of delegates last night to just the fact that St. Conlon's Park would not be, or was going to be paused?
One delegate just asked, was that the end of it? And he was told no, they just couldn't move forward, as you explained there, because of the current situation, which Alan Dunne explained, that the cost that was given to them just before tender was between 11.2 and 11.5, but as you say, gone up now to about 16 million. One delegate asked if the capacity, which we were told was 13,000, is necessary now, as all the games are now in Croke Park. Now, that might have been one tongue-in-cheek comment, but on the matter of Croke Park and the matches in Croke, Mick Gorman did tell the delegates that Croke Park want the matches there because the shortened season had caused them the most difficulties, and there's a necessity for Croke Park to pay for itself, and there are also contractual requirements to TV and other contractual
In other words, Sky were calling the tune in regards to this. And finally, Pat, in a sentence, was there any reflection from delegates about the Leinster final football performance?
No, at the very end, Mick Gorman informed delegates that there would be a review of the six inter-county teams, so three hurling, three football. At the end of the year, he referred to the very disappointing performance in the Leinster final, need for a better performance, and also for, support for the team on Saturday. No discussion or debate or questions in relation to the fact that the under-20s had lost the Lanarkshire final, the minors had lost the Leinster final, and the seniors had lost the Leinster final.
All right.
That's what happened.
Strange.
Just a quick one, Clem. The treasurer informed the meeting that the signs were good. 830 of income up to the 31st of March, and 770 of expenditure. That gave them a surplus of nearly 60,000 over that particular period.
All right, well done. And Pat, and you can read all about that in Tuesday's edition of The Nationalist, as well as he reflects on it, and indeed the big game of the weekend on the back page this week. Pat's article of Kildare. Newbridge going nowhere for now, and that's the key thing there. Thanks very much, Pat, for that. And of course, Pat Costello will be coming to your town over the next couple of weeks as KFM goes out and about for the summer, so keep a lookout for Pat and our team touring the county from town to town. That's all beginning in Newbridge on next Tuesday afternoon between 2 and 4 p.m. Now, Owen, couple of quick tips for the poor parents who are distraught, tearing their hair out about the pressure and the stress of the exams that has been going on, particularly in the recent weeks as we got to the big day today. 130,000, and we have 10 tips for parents, Owen. Who are you there now? Yes, indeed.
Yeah, the Leaving Cert and Junior Cert, of course, starting today. The exams underway and the students in the exam hall as we speak. But for parents, who might be listening at home, 10 tips on schooldays.ie. You can read more there. But the first one, obviously, is understand that there is huge pressure on students at the moment. And just be aware that the difficulty of the Leaving Cert and the challenges of adolescence and all of this is in the context of the huge uncertainty that has been created over the last couple of years with COVID-19.
All right.
So do understand
number
there.
Number two.
Help to organise a good place to study. That's always important as well. Understand the need for equipment such as folders, post-it notes, notice boards, any other equipment that your child might need going into the exams each and every day. Number four, discuss time management between study and downtime. Try not to have them, studying non-stop over the next 2 weeks. It is good to have some downtime as well. Similarly, number five, screen time. Similar to time management, negotiation is key here. You should sit down with your son and daughter and discuss the amount of time that they are on their mobile device.
Good luck with that.
I know it's a tough one, but regularly ask as well how the study is going. Be specific. Don't just ask them, how are things? Are you getting on all right? Maybe talk specifically about the
Number seven is important.
Offer your help to discuss, test and explain, ask to be taught something and make suggestions there. Be aware of resources, also be constructive, positive and praise. And number 10 is to be there in general, just be there and support them over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, be there. Now is not the time for criticising them, telling them why did you waste your year, if you'd studied more you'd have done this, that and the other. Those 10 steps courtesy of the website schooldays.com.
And I just see actually it was written by John Sharkey. He's a teacher in Piper's Hill and Nace. He's a guidance counsellor and a teacher there who would have taught me in school. So John Sharkey writing that,
Good man, Owen. Well done with the local connection there. John Sharkey, well done to you also, Piper's Hill in Nace. So the 10 steps again, Owen, headlines. One.
Yeah, so just to go back up to the top, understand.
Two.
Number two, help to organise a good place to study.
Three.
Number three, understand the need for equipment. Number four, discuss time management. Number five, screen time. Number six, regularly ask how the study is going. morning. Number 7, offer your help to discuss, test and explain. Number 8, be aware of resources. Number 9, constructive, positive and praise. And number 10, be there.
Be there for them. Now is the time for support. Thanks for that. Well done, Sean Sharkey. And you can read the details at schooldays.ie.